Welcome to Whiskey Cast, cask strength conversation featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 456 for December 14th, 2013. Coming up in a few minutes.
It's not okay to be a big girl. And you're not worthy of doers. But if you're a Swedish bikini model, well, then the wingman will allow you that opportunity to drink some doers with the whiskey man.
Canadian whiskey blogger Joanne McInnes was one of the leaders of a social media-based protest this week against an online video for doers. That protest led to doers pulling its Meet the Baron video off of the internet within 24 hours. The Meet the Baron story isn't over, though. More on that later on WhiskeyCast in Depth. I'll also have the calendar of events, your voice, and in the What I'm Tasting This Week department, my notes for a couple of single malts from Kentucky that hold their own against their counterparts from Scotland. All on this week's WhiskeyCast.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the Stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Let's start off with the week's news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Some of Kentucky's bourbon distillers are facing a shortage of barrels this month. That's because heavy rains in Missouri and Arkansas during October and November kept logging crews from getting into the forests. News reports out of Louisville earlier this week seemed to paint a dire picture for some distillers, especially the ones that buy their barrels from independent stave company. But Four Roses master distiller Jim Rutledge told me it's been blown just a bit out of proportion.
It's not just that independent stave, it's an industry-wide thing. And it was the loggers, some issues with loggers because of the very wet fall, that they couldn't get their heavy equipment. Most of these, the properties in which the white oak trees are cut are on from leased property. And, of course, the owners of the properties didn't want this heavy equipment going in there with the wet conditions and tear all the property up. So there were some delays getting the wood out. Of course, it takes time to dry the wood. And it put us in a temporary shortage. It's, you know, mountains were made out of molehills. We're slowing down production just a little bit to get through this period, and then we'll make it up the shortages we have right now in 2014. So we're not going to miss anything, and that's why I say mountains made out of molehills. It's just a little bit of a bump in the road. It's not a heck of a lot different than if we had a maintenance issue that caused us to shut down, or maybe there's a water issue with low water in the Salt River. Any number of things can do this and have done, have caused temporary shutdowns or slowed production in previous years.
Independent Stave Company President Brad Boswell turned down my request for an interview this week, saying that he's focusing on buying more high-quality white oak logs. And even though Four Roses will be able to make up the lost production next summer, it doesn't help when the distillery has been going almost non-stop to meet projected demand for bourbon down the road.
It's unbelievable. We're running full out, and it's going great. It's unbelievable. We're analyzing the situations now with increased growth, and we'll probably be looking at some expansion down the road.
Other quick headlines out of bourbon country. Michter's has become the newest heritage member of the Kentucky Distillers Association, while Wilderness Trace Distillery in Danville has become the latest craft distiller to join the KDA. Wilderness Trace opened earlier this month. It's owned by Firm Solutions, which has been heavily involved in yeast development for distillers and ethanol producers over the years. A few weeks ago, Diageo CEO Ivan Menezes was touting Bulleit Bourbon's growing sales. Now, Bulleit will be getting a boost in the UK, with plans to replace the current 40% ABV version with the same 45% Bulleit sold in the US. The UK will also start getting bullet rye, which has not been widely available outside the US since it was introduced 2 years ago. No word on whether the problems this week on the International Space Station have affected the vials of Ardbeg maturing in zero gravity, but Ardbeg won't be able to send its rocket up after them. I'm kidding, of course. But the Ardbeg rocket is being grounded after a couple of years of touring North American bars and retailers. It's being replaced by a cousin of the Ardbeg choppers that roamed North America several years ago. The Pete Hopper made its debut this past weekend on the CMT Network's Orange County Choppers show. Ardbeg's Gregor Mina explained the Pete Hopper to me the other night in New York City.
The Pete Hopper is our replacement for the rocket, which has been touring for the last 2 years. So the rocket's been really successful. It's had a lot of wow, big impact. And so it was quite a difficult task for us to come up with something even bigger and better. So what we wanted to do was create something with a lot of wow, that was big and fast and loud. We wanted to rekindle a past relationship with Orange County Choppers and really take that to the maximum level that we could. So they have come up with the Pete Hopper, which is, it's not a tractor, it's not an all-wheel drive vehicle, it's not a chopper, it's something like the love child of all three. So something that you'll have never seen before.
And you're going to take this on tour around North America now, right?
Yeah, we're going to tour all across the U.S., 26 states, I think, in total, between March and December 2014. So you'll have a chance to come up and see the Hopper in some detail and all of the fantastic little bits and pieces that they've done on it, play some games, try some Ardbeg, have a good time.
What are you guys going to do with the rocket?
Good question. Without giving away too much, we're not decommissioning the rocket, and it will resurface at some point in the future. If you put two and two together, you'll know that we have Ardbeg on the International Space Station still maturing. That's going to have to come down at some point. That's all I'll say on that at this stage.
So we'll see that in another year or two when that stuff comes down, probably.
Yeah, I'm not going to say too much more, but yeah, some point very soon we'll rekindle that.
By the way, Gregor appears in the Pete Hopper episode of Orange County Choppers, which you can watch online if you don't have CMT. I've posted a link at whiskeycast.com. One other Ardbeg note, McTeers held its final whiskey auction of the year this week in Glasgow, and an Ardbeg double barrel collection took the top bid at £6,000, just under $10,000. In other news, the Glenlivet Guardians have selected one of three single malts to become the Guardians Chapter limited edition release. Members of the Distilleries Club in 37 countries voted to pick Exotic, a malt using a combination of hogsheads, ex-bourbon barrels, and Spanish ex-sherry butts. It'll go on sale in March at a suggested price of around $85 a bottle. The U.S. is getting an Aaron single cask bottling. It's an ex-bourbon cask selected by distillery manager James McTaggart and was distilled back in 1996. It's being bottled at 49.8% ABV and will sell for a recommended price of $130 a bottle. No word on how many bottles will be available. Douglas Lang is out with its annual charity bottling for the holidays. This year's edition is a 12-year-old Breval single sherry cask, and all proceeds will go to the Royal Air Force Benevolent Fund. The bottle features a hand-drawn Spitfire fighter from World War II. 762 bottles will be available. By the way, Fred and Stuart Lang's father, Fred Douglas Lang, was an RAF pilot during World War II. The Whiskey Exchange in London has crowned its annual Whiskey of the Year following a public tasting at Vinopolis. The Glenfarclas 15-year-old won out over seven other single malts, selected on the basis of taste, availability, and price. By the way, the Botanist gin distilled at Brooklady was named the Spirit of the Year. Meanwhile, Glenfarclas also has a new 2003 vintage bottling available exclusively at Marks & Spencer stores in the UK. Just a quick update now on last week's story about the charity auction for a bottle of Glenmorangie 1963 to benefit the American Forests Group. The auction ended Friday afternoon with a high bid of $4,050. That's well above the list price of $2,600 a bottle. The winning bidder has not been identified. And finally, last time around I listed several New Year's Eve events during the Calendar of Events segment. One of them was the Chattanooga Whiskey Company's Barrel Drop Celebration in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Got word this week that the barrel drop has been canceled, and the official reason was that the company decided that it needed to focus on making whiskey. However, news reports out of Chattanooga suggest that the main reason may have been opposition from local bars and restaurants over what they see as increasing competition from the distillery for special events. You can keep up with the latest whiskey news all week long at whiskeycast.com.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie, continuing the Caskmasters project. You've helped us choose the whiskey, and you've helped us choose the name. Next, help us choose the packaging. Sign up online at glenmorangie.com.
Thanks again to everyone who took the time to participate in our WhiskeyCast community survey. We've been going through the responses, and we'll be implementing some of your suggestions going forward, including one that a lot of people expressed. While most of you enjoy the What I'm Tasting This Week department, there was a lot of interest in seeing tasting notes for more accessible whiskeys featured, along with the harder-to-find ones, and that's something I'll try to do each week whenever possible. This week's Your Voice is brought to you by Highland Park. The other day, the Telegraph ran a story in which Jim Murray of the Whiskey Bible claimed Scotch whiskey is falling behind what he called vastly improved American whiskeys. Now, this is part of Jim's ongoing jihad accusing Scotch whiskey makers of screwing up their casks with sulfur contamination and caramel coloring. I don't agree with Jim's theory, but maybe I'm just one of the people he claims are genetically unable to smell sulfur. Trust me, we've had enough natural gas leaks in our neighborhood over the last few months from construction that prove I can smell sulfur just fine. Now that's why I'm not mentioning this story. I wanted to give props to Scott Hartig, who posted a link on our Facebook page to one of the many stories citing the Telegraph article, along with his comment, quoting now, "With all due respect to Jim Murray, I'd beg to differ." Well played, Scott. Well played. Last week's segment with Oliver Klimek and Keith Wood on the results of this year's Malt Maniacs Awards brought this comment from DrinkBC on Twitter. Great episode this week. It was nice to see some of the award-winning whiskeys are available in Canada. By the way, you can follow me on Twitter at WhiskeyCast and post your comments there or on the Your Voice page at WhiskeyCast.com. You can also email me directly. My address is comments@WhiskeyCast.com, and this week's Your Voice is brought to you by Highland Park.
My name is Daryl Haldane, Global Brand Advocate for Highland Park. Go onto our website at highlandpark.co.uk and upload your photo at Inner Circle to have your face on the walls of the Highland Park Distillery.
Let's check the calendar of events now, brought to you as always by Laphroaig. First off, the folks behind the Milano Whiskey Festival in Italy will be holding a Man vs. Whiskey tasting on December 18th in Milano. Jim Rutledge of Four Roses will be signing bottles at Unlimited Spirit in Lexington, Kentucky on the 19th. The Brandy Library in New York City will have a spirit school featuring rare bourbons on the 21st. The MS Calgary Whiskey Festival will be on January 14th, just ahead of the Victoria Whiskey Festival, January 16th through the 19th. By the way, if you're thinking about going to the Spirit of Speyside Festival next May, the schedule will be released on January 28th, with tickets going on sale February 1st. Those are just a few of the events on the calendar at WhiskeyCast.com. It's brought to you by Laphroaig. Take a virtual distillery tour at Laphroaig.com, and while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Isla.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Jerry McCarthy, stillhouse operator, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
There was a time then we brought in 12 barrels, and I was asked to, I was foreman in the warehousing at the time, and it was to be handled by no one then myself and the supervisor in question, Dennis McSweeney. And we put it together, made it up. I was told to band them, strap them, get them onto the back of a lorry. They were being shipped off up to Dublin. And they were special. And I was told it was liquid gold. It was actually Redbreast.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know Redbreast.
This week on WhiskeyCast In Depth, the story of an online video that sparked outrage from whiskey lovers for its treatment of women. But in this case, men and women were equally upset with the Doers Meet the Baron video. I wish I could share the audio from Meet the Baron with you, but Doers has scrubbed all traces of the ad from the web, as you'll hear in a minute. But to summarize it, the Baron is a suave, charismatic man who helps a normal drinking man get through a number of challenging situations. Two of those situations caused the controversy. A large blonde woman approaching the drinking man at the bar, and later, the drinking man faced off with a group of so-called Swedish bikini models. Canadian whiskey blogger Joanne McInnes was one of the leaders of the social media protest that resulted in Doers pulling the video. Tell me, first of all, how you found out about this ad, because you got tipped to it by a couple of other bloggers, right?
I did. I was kind of sitting on my lunch hour on Monday, and I had noticed that two of the guys that I follow on Twitter were having a discussion, and they had posed a question directly to Doers. I don't remember exactly what the question was, but it was something along the lines of they had both watched the ad and they were asking questions directly to Doers. And then I saw the reply from Doers, which was something along the lines of the blonde was actually a villain. So that kind of piqued my interest, and I went and looked at the ad, and that's when it really hit me and I became aware of the ad.
Now, let's be fair about this. We've had, let's be honest about it, rather. We've had sexist ads in whiskey for decades. What made this so outrageously obnoxious, to put it one way?
I think the thing that bothered me the most about it, because, yes, I am very aware that a lot of the whiskey companies use what I will consider, you know, really attractive females to either promote a product or to lure, I won't say lure, that's probably not the right word, but just to make the product, you know, appear more attractive, either to the male population or otherwise. But with this particular ad, I think what really bothered me was the fact that in the actual ad, which a lot of people haven't seen now, at one point, the drinking man is sitting at the bar, and he almost looks horrified, and I'm not exaggerating. It's as though something really terrible has just walked into the bar towards him. And then they pan to the plus-size woman in a tight red dress walking towards him, and that's when the wingman throws himself in front of her, and the narrator comes on and basically says, you know, not only does he take a bullet, he throws himself at the explosive. And I remember gasping when I heard that line, because I thought, seriously? Like, this is just ridiculous. But then another friend online tipped me off as to what that definition actually means. And it's something the younger generation uses between the 20s and 30s, and it's called jumping the hand grenade. And when I found out what that meant, that's when I really got angry, because it literally means, and I'm using the definition, but it means, you know, to save your friend from the ugly fat chick. So that's the first time in my mind that I can think of a whiskey ad that blatantly, you know, degrades women that are not, you know, what I guess society would consider, you know, not attractive.
It degrades normal women.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. You know, and the worst part is that that's really what the majority of us really look like. We're not all a size zero Swedish bikini model, which is what the end of the ad actually says. You know, the wingman shows up with three Swedish bikini models that are in tight black dresses and that are very pretty, and they're all size zero. And so for me, the message was kind of saying, it's not okay to be a big girl. And you're not worthy of Doers. But if you're a Swedish bikini model, well, then the wingman will allow you that opportunity to drink some Doers with the whiskey man, you know. And it was just, I just found it was in really poor taste and targeting a large population of people.
Were you surprised by the response from other whiskey lovers and the rest of the whiskey community out there to jump in with you on this?
I think I kind of expected. You know, it's kind of funny. Sometimes you jump into things. I'm sort of known for stepping on soap boxes and saying what I think and not necessarily worrying about what people will think, you know, what I say, because that's just the way I was raised. I was always raised to protect my little brother, and I was always one to kind of, you know, root for the underdog. And so when I did start tweeting about it, you know, the three guys that were immediate in helping me out were the three guys that kind of noticed the ad to begin with. And then all of a sudden it just became, you know, this whole, one of the girls online called it an army of not just men, but of women as well. And the more you could almost watch it grow. It reminded me of an old shampoo commercial. You know, I told two friends and they told two friends and they told two friends, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And the thing that really did surprise me the most, not that it was everyone, because we did get some negative, you know, what I consider immature or silly comments, but the majority of the men that I coined in the whiskey fabric were more outraged than what some of the women seemed to be, which that was the part that was the change, I think, for a lot of us, because a lot of the comments that kept coming back, especially in direct message on Twitter or on my Facebook page, was, wow, this is amazing. You know, we're not just a bunch of women whining about something feminist that's going on. It was men demanding change and men saying, this is not right. You know, you got to do something about this. That ad is just, it's done in poor taste.
Did it surprise you that they pulled it down the same day?
They actually pulled it down 24 hours later. Because we, the three of us, especially Matt Frank is his name, in Ontario, he and I kind of talked, you know, a couple of times, and I would tweet him, or we would talk back and forth, and I'd say, you know, they're remaining silent. And he's the one that said, just wait, it'll change. You know, something's going to happen. And I was really impressed with how he was so sure of himself. He was like, nope, just give it a few more minutes, or, you know, give it that little bit of time. You're going to see, they're going to do something. And sure enough, like I say, it was just a little bit over 24 hours, because I was sitting here eating my supper, and all of a sudden my phone blew up, and I could just see the Twitter feed going like crazy. And it was people that I didn't even know saying they took the ad down, you know. So then all of a sudden it was like, it was crazy. There was over 200, 300, you know, 400 messages, just bang, bang, bang. They took the ad down. And then I think there was probably about 6 or 7 of us, you included, that received what I call the standard PR form letter, basically explaining their idea of, you know, why, or not their idea, but their stand on why they decided to take the ad down. So,
but not apologizing for it.
No, they still didn't apologize, which, you know, a lot of people were kind of upset about that. But I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, they took it down, and that was massive as far as I'm concerned. I can only imagine how much the marketing campaign must have cost them to make that. And, you know, from my perspective, it's truly David versus Goliath kind of thing. They could have really just kept it quiet, not said a word, and just let it blow over. But they didn't choose to do that. I think, you know, as the ball started to roll and the snowball got bigger, I'm hoping somebody somewhere went, you know, no, this isn't worth it. Let's just cut it loose.
Do you think this is a turning point in trying to bring about more equality and at least a fairer treatment for women in whiskey advertising?
I think the proof will be in the pudding with regards to this particular company with their next campaign ad. You know, that was the biggest thing for me. Was a lot of people were saying, you know, yay, we did it, we did it, we did it. And I'm like, yes, we did. We got this one off the air, or this one off the market, you know. But I don't know if you replied to the letter they sent, but I certainly did. And I said, you know, for a company that calls itself the most respected scotch in the world, because it does say that on their website, you know, I think they have a moral obligation to that demographic that they were saying, you know, they were targeting this ad for, to do better, you know, not go backwards in time and use the old cliches, but actually be the leader for those 20 and 30 something men and show them a different way. You know, show them what respect means and show them, you know, what the real drinking man or thinking man does with regards to his scotch or his choice of scotch, etc. And so, you know, that's what I'm going to be waiting for, and I will be watching very carefully as to what Dewar's next ad campaign is going to look like. And that, I think, will be the defining moment as to whether or not we actually affect a change.
We did ask Dewar's and its parent company, Bacardi, to make someone available for an interview. They declined and, as Joanne said, sent a written statement instead. This response went to everyone who contacted Dewar's about the video, and to be fair, I'll read it in its entirety. Regarding your inquiry about the Dewar's Meet the Baron video, we value your feedback, whether it's critical or complimentary, and appreciate your effort in taking the time to write to us. While we strive to be inclusive of many demographics, we have a wide array of consumers who respond to a variety of unique and focused marketing messages in different ways. The Baron represents a camaraderie that is important to our target consumer and is one character under the Drinking Man's Scotch campaign, which features a strong and successful female icon as the spokesperson for the brand. We understand our communications may not always appeal to everyone. However, it is feedback like yours that allows us to continuously evaluate our marketing efforts. Upon further review, we have decided to remove the video from our YouTube page. Well, they not only removed it from the Dewar's YouTube page, but a number of lifestyle blogs that were embedding the video on their sites as part of a promotion with Dewar's. It should also be noted that the ad received significant criticism from several advertising industry websites as well, and BusinessInsider.com posted a link to a different Dewar's online ad targeting the British audience with no sexist content at all. The ad was created by the New York-based ad agency Opperman Weiss, which also created another whiskey video that's been getting a lot of attention these days for the exact opposite reasons, the Tullamore Dew parting glass spot that Business Insider called one of the best ads of the year, period. Now, Joanne has filed a formal complaint against Dewar's with the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States on the grounds that the Meet the Baron video violates the DISCUS Code of Responsible Practices, which has specific language banning ads that, quote, degrade the image, form, or status of women, men, or of any ethnic, minority, sexually oriented, religious, or other group. Bacardi, and by extension Dewar's, is a member of DISCUS and subscribes to the code. The trade body's code review board is expected to meet soon to review the complaint. The only thing the board can do is ask that ads violating the code be withdrawn. Now, that may not sound like much, but Frank Coleman of DISCUS told me it can be a pretty heavy penalty.
There is the very significant cost of compliance for a company that has an ad that is found in violation of the DISCUS Code of Responsible Practices. In many cases, it can be thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars to change placements that are found to be in violation. And that's a very serious threat. And as far as I know, we have had 100% compliance from DISCUS member companies with code review board decisions.
How does the code review board work? Who makes the judgments? Who serves on this board?
It's representatives from the DISCUS member companies themselves. And, people would say, whatever they would say about that. But the reality is that the vast majority of the complaints that have been received over the course of time come from other members. So everybody's watching each other.
How often do you get a public comments or public complaints filed, such as the Dewar's case?
All of the complaints are now on the website, and how they're adjudicated by the Code Review Board. You know, and that is really the larger threat to companies. It's not really a threat, but it's an imperative for compliance with the DISCUS Code of Responsible Practices, is this notion that if you don't comply, you could be subject to publicly having your ad practices questioned publicly.
So the transparency works as a deterrent then among your members?
Absolutely. That in itself works as a major deterrent, and then the cost of compliance, if you're found to be in violation, is another major factor. And in the long run, we have had 100% compliance with DISCUS Code Review Board decisions among DISCUS member companies. And for non-member companies who are also subject to the code in the U.S. market, there's been overwhelming compliance. And again, just a peripheral glance at that, you know, over the course of the last several years, you will see you'll see all the complaints and you'll see how they're adjudicated. Now, in some cases, they're not found in violation. You know, one person's ceiling is another person's floor. You know, it's not always perceived, and there are questions about you know what is in good taste and so forth. I mean, there's all kinds of different criteria in terms of the content questions, and then there are of course the placement issues. You know, was the ad placed in appropriate venues based on the rules of the DISCUS code?
Complaints don't happen very often. In fact, the DISCUS website shows only one so far during 2013. Most of the complaints since 2010 have focused on vodka brands, with one notable exception. Wild Turkey's Give 'Em the Bird ads 2 years ago that featured people giving the traditional single-digit salute. The board ruled those ads violated the code's standards for good taste, and Wild Turkey withdrew the ads. That's this week's WhiskeyCast In Depth. Moving on now to the What I'm Tasting This Week department, let's look at a couple of Kentucky single malt whiskeys, specifically the Woodford Reserve 2013 Master's Collection single malts. They sell for around $90 a bottle, depending on where you're located. Both are bottled at 45.2% ABV, and they're identical except for one thing. The classic malt was matured in used barrels, while the straight malt was matured in brand new charred oak barrels, which is required to be able to call it a straight whiskey. Let's look at the straight malt first. The nose is soft and clean with malt, straw, honey, and vanilla notes. The taste starts off with caramel and cocoa, followed by a spicy burst of cinnamon with honey underneath, along with hints of vanilla and oak in the background. The finish is long and smooth with softly fading spices and a bit of honey. I'm scoring the Woodford Reserve Master's Collection straight malt a 93. Now, the classic malt's use of used barrels should make it more scotch-like in character, and that's just what happens here. The nose is warm and inviting with soft spices, a nice maltiness, and touches of honey, straw, and lemon. The taste takes that lemony touch for a tart, spicy palate with lemon pepper, clove, vanilla, oak, and black tea. The finish lingers with that lemon pepper touch that fades out slowly, along with vanilla and coconut notes. I'm scoring the classic malt version a 92. And finally, let's look at the Powers Gold Label. This is the new version that came out this fall with a new recipe, a higher ABV at 43.2%, and no chill filtering. It should be available for around $25 a bottle at most U.S. retailers. The price may vary in other countries. The nose is crisp and clean with honey, pears, hints of clove, allspice, and lemon zest. The taste is thick and oily with lemon pepper tartness and spice, along with honey, ginger, and hints of clove and pears. The finish is long and slightly tart with lemon zest, honey, black tea, and a hint of clove. I'm scoring Powers Gold Label Irish Whiskey an 89. I've added these tasting notes to the searchable list of 1,100 different whiskeys at WhiskeyCast.com. That's also where you'll find links for WhiskeyCast HD, and WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings episodes, the latest whiskey news and events, the photo gallery, and our bookstore powered by Amazon.com, and the Cocktail Collection, a list of whiskey-based drink recipes. You can follow me on Twitter at WhiskeyCast, and my email address for your questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Whiskey Cast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2013, and comes to you each week from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.